Blog Talk Radio.
Make some noise, everybody. Come on, let's rock. Everybody, come on, put your hands out there. Make some noise, pipe it up.
I am so happy that you tuned into Prophecy Alive. I'm thanking God and giving him glory for what he is doing in the lives of the people of God all over this nation. I decree this night that you will have a supernatural manifestation encounter with God. I believe in God to take everything that the enemy has done to you and give you something that you thought you'd never have. I believe, God, tonight that the presence of the Lord would be so evident. God, right now I come to you and thank you for what you are doing. You are so awesome. God, there is nobody like you. God, there is nobody that is to be compared to your greatness and to your glory. Father, you are the best. There is no other God beside you. Who can stand against you, God? Who can defeat you, God? Who can overthrow you, God? Absolutely no one. I don't care how powerful the devil may seem, he is under God's foot. I mean, he can't even touch you unless God allows him to. So don't be scared of the devil. Fear God. What do you mean, fear God? How much is God worth to you? How much? I want you to think about it tonight. How much is God worth to you? Well, you need to think about that because it is according to your faith that will cause things to be how they should be to you. Listen, Holy Ghost is talking. How much, what is God worth to you? He'll be to you what he's worth to you. So many people are wondering why this, why that. What I want to encourage every one of you that's been praying, you've been steadfast, you've been unshakable, you've been immovable, you've been abounding in the work of the Lord, you've been loving, you've been forgiving, you've been obedient, and I want you to know that your time is now. Yes, your time is now. Catch a hold of this faith tonight. Tonight I'm going to be dealing with trusting God. How do we trust God? Tell your neighbor, tell your friends, tell your pastors, tell your bishops, tell your prophets. And I want you to prepare yourself for this night. For the next 90 minutes, we're going to be talking about what God can do when we trust him. I'll be right back after this.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found the Savior who turned me around and he placed his love on me. And I will trust him.
Trust in the name of the Lord. Listen, I want you to know that God is looking for people that will trust him. God is looking for people that will believe in him. And when we began to trust God, things just happened. I want you to think about it now. When we put our trust in God, he will move for us. So many times we think we're trusting God, but at the same time, have you ever done this? While you know that God has made a way, your natural mind will try to figure out how to make this way that you know God has already made. The word of God says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Some of our thoughts have not been put into captivity, but I decree tonight that every thought that's out of captivity, that have not been submissive to God's will, may be put into subjection. And I pray for supernatural breakthrough in trusting God. You see, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural mind doesn't respond to the Word of God. I'm going to turn to that in my Bible, and I want you to go there with me. I want to show you something how 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go there. Because I want to start with this, because, you know, the flesh cannot please God. There's absolutely no way that we can please God in our flesh. So I want to show you this and put this in you. You see, you have to have time. You have to make time for the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. You have to make time for that, just as a student has to make time for his or her schooling. You can never become a lawyer without school, you understand, or a mechanic, or anything that you're going to school for, you know. And this is why the Holy Spirit comes to teach us. Now, if you really want a breakthrough, the Word of God is how you get the breakthrough, following God's Word. Look at this with me, 1 Corinthians 2, 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not. Stop right there. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. The natural man, or the natural mind, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now look at this. Everything that you see comes from the Spirit of God. It may look natural, comes from God's Spirit. Even as a child is planted in the womb of the mother, it comes from Spirit. And see what the enemy does. The enemy wants you to think your provision. Hear this now. I feel the anointing. The enemy wants you to think that your provision comes from natural things. It doesn't. Absolutely not. So what the natural mind does, it tries to figure out how this can come to pass in the natural. That's why it's called supernatural. It's still natural. It's just super. God is the super of natural things. The Holy Spirit is the super of natural things. God spoke to me and he said to me, and I'm going to just share this with you. He said, super money. I said, wait a minute. Super money. God was saying to me that money moves people, but the people of God, our access is through the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. This is why Jesus said the hour must come, and now is, when the Father is seeking the true worshipers. Listen to what Jesus said. He said the hour cometh, and now is, St. John 4. The Father is seeking the true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So listen to this now. There's a whole lot of people got plenty of money. They can buy a judge. They can buy officials, political officials. They can buy a law that they want passed. But God is saying today, And by the Holy Spirit, as I prayed and prepared myself for tonight, that God wants to reveal to his people super provision, super money, super health. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us the natural man cannot stop trying to receive from God in the natural. Dear hearts, kings and queens, kingdom people, stop trying to get an Ishmael when God wants you to have an Isaac. You remember Abraham when he went into Hagar. He produced Ishmael. And because Ishmael was of his seed, so when his mother was in a desert place, the word of God said the angel heard the cry of the child. So Ishmael has a part in this covenant. Yet, it was a supernatural thing that happened to Sarah. Her womb was touched by God, and Abraham believed God, and trusting God, he planted his seed, and Isaac came forth. The promise. You've been through your Ishmael experience, people of God. But God is saying the promise is here for the people of God. Now is Isaac. Thank God for Ishmael, but it's Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus came forth. The promise came forth. And then God is so awesome. When the promise of Jesus came forth, he also promised to die for us. And when he was crucified on that tree, it wasn't an Ishmael. It wasn't Isaac. It was the promise. And I want you to know you can receive that promise, and it's going to come by trusting God. 1 Corinthians 2, look at this. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Foolishness. The natural man, the natural mind thinks it's foolish to trust God. Yeah, it looked foolish when that widow trusted God. And God gave her a blessing because she trusted God. But it looked foolish. And God gave her a miracle. She trusted God. And God gave her a supernatural miracle. And her oil never ran out. When you trust God, God will give you a residual income. God will give you a residual health. Your body will never run out of health. Your mind will never run out of health. The organs in your body will never run out of their God-given function. Your heart will beat according to God's word. Your lungs will never lose the vital vitamins and nutrition. Your heart will never fail you because you have no fear. You see, the fear of God is the respect for God's word. So the natural mind says, you're crazy. Why are you believing God for something? And even some church folk think it's foolish to trust God. They trust in a job. One person said one time, I'm not going to name this factory because you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But here, the principal, he said, this such and such factory been good to me. I said, wait a minute. God's been good to you. You see, there was a man in the Bible that built bigger barns, and he sat back and began to talk about how he was so blessed. And God said, call him a fool. Your soul is required of you. When you trust God, you could trust in yourself, but that would never open your Red Sea. You can trust in your job, and that would never bring forth the things that God wants to bring forth in your life. So the natural mind thinks it's foolish to trust God. Isn't that amazing? The natural mind says, no, that doesn't make sense. Suppose you believe in God for $1 million. I'm going to tell you something. Your job not going to give you $1 million. People that are blessed because they trust God. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? But I want you to take your mind off of everything that in the natural. Stop trying to figure out how this is going to come to pass, especially if the thing you desire has to do with the kingdom of God, has to do with souls. You know, Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God with not some of your heart, but every bit of it. And how do you know when you trust in God with all your heart, you're not leaning to what you know? You're not leaning to your own understanding. Get this now. But when you trust God with some of your heart, then you're going to lean on your own understanding. Well, if my own understanding can bring things about, then I don't need to trust God. And that's how pride comes in. Because when you think you can do it, you won't pray. When you think you can fix it, you won't seek God. The Word of God says, acknowledge God in all your ways, and then He directs your path. God cannot direct us if we don't acknowledge Him as the director, as the one that's leading and guiding us. Romans 8:28, and we know that those all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. It deals with that. And then that are called to His purpose. What is God's purpose? That He would have a people that He can reside in, that He can be their God and they can be His people. What is His purpose? It's a kingdom purpose. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The earth is in travail, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. They're not waiting on the manifestation of a prophet. They're not waiting on the manifestation of an apostle. They're not waiting on the manifestation of any other thing than the sons of God. And the word says it does not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear yet what we shall be. But when we see Him, we'll look just like Him, for we will see Him as He is in us. The word says to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight. When God becomes our delight, then we're trusting Him. You're not going to delight in someone you don't trust. Psalms 37:4. Delight in the Lord, and He will give the desires of your heart. When we get happy about God, when we're delightful, and when we enjoy His presence, not just at church, but when nobody's looking, He's your delight. When nobody sees you, He's your delight. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart, and then commit your way. I'm in Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Now, you see that trust? You see, when you delight in Him, you get what you desire. When you commit, then you trust. Some of us trying to trust someone we are not committed to. It is impossible. I want you to get this. It is impossible to trust God with an uncommitted life. Come on, get this. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to area code. I feel glory, people. There's a miracle for someone. A great miracle. I'm going to go to the phones now. I have an area code. 257. I'm coming to you right now. Thanks for calling. Hi. Prophecy Alive.
Hi, hello. My name is Joanne.
Joanne?
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Is this your first time?
Yes.
I'm so happy that you called. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you praise. I thank you for this woman. Thank you that you hear everything we pray. Mm-hmm. Father, right now, come in our midst. She loves you, God. Give us a right now miracle. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, speak your heart.
Well, I was calling because I guess I needed direction on church, what church to go and attend.
I tell people this. You know, like if you've ever been to college or people try to go to the best college that they can go to, that they can get the best education for the best job. You understand? So when it comes to church, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, and you're doing that by calling in tonight, to lead and guide you. Now, you want to be at a church where you're getting the Word of God. I'm talking about the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a good word. You know, one of those words that just make you shout, and that happens too. But go where there's the love of God. You know, you can go to a social church, or you can go to a church that just want to prosper off of people. Or you can go to a church that teaches Jesus Christ and Him crucifying. You understand?
Yeah.
If they exalt Jesus above themselves, that's a good church.
Yeah.
But if they're exalting flesh, or if they're praising a man or a denomination, that's not good. I would advise you to, since this is your first time, me and my Queen Katrina will pray with you, counsel you, and you know, it's almost like my daughter. I couldn't tell her who to marry. You understand?
Yes.
And, you know, I learned a little trick here. I start acting like if I didn't like the guy and I felt something wrong about him, I start acting like I loved him. She dropped him. You see, that's wisdom. Because
yeah.
I don't want to lose my girl. You feel me?
Yes.
And sometimes that's the way it is with churches. You got to make sure that, now you're not going to find a church that don't have issues, because wherever people are, you're going to have issues. But at least find a place where that leadership loves.
Okay.
So stay connected. And there's a place that you're looking at. And all the time, it's not a place where, you know, kinfolk are.
Yeah.
You know, you got kinfolk church, and then you ain't really in the crowd unless you in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me, don't you?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah, I could talk to you because I sense your spirit. And there's a unique spirit that you have. I sense this presence of love. I'm going to ask God to protect you and guide you. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you send a divine presence from you, Lord, to protect this one. And your word declares you will lead and guide us into all truth. And Father, I decree right now, and I decree upon this woman's life that she be in the right place at the right time, in Jesus' name. Until then, let me and my wife Katrina, you'll meet her. The more you call, she's taking care of business right now. We're going to renew our vows this Saturday. Praise God.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. She makes me look good. And I thank God for her. But I want to, we're also on Facebook. You see Roderick Owensby, and you'll see my queen with me. And join us there. And we're going to just kind of guide you spiritually until you find the right church, okay?
Amen.
God bless.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back right after this. We're going to continue into Trusting God. We acknowledge God with all of our hearts, like this young lady just called. She wanted prayer concerning what church to go to. And some people would think that's crazy. Just go somewhere where you feel good. Well, you know, if this was a feel-good thing, what you going to do when you don't feel good? So she was awesome in calling, and we're going to continue to pray with her and nurture her. And one thing I don't do, I don't put down any leaders. Any pastors, I'm against mess. I've been against my mess. Oh, somebody just shouted. So I'm against mess. You know, I'm against profiting off of God's people. And you see ministries where the only one that's prospering is the leader. No, God wants us all to prosper. Praise God. He wants us to have things common, all of us should prosper. The church should be different from the world. You know, in the world, you got 3% people that are so rich they'd never spend all their money. That's good for them. I don't hate on no one. I like money. I just don't love it. But the body of Christ, you know, you got people going to church and they're investing in that ministry. And they are sowing, as people teach, they're tithing and being promised that the windows of heaven will open. And some people, the only windows they saw open is their house in the summertime, their own windows. You know, you got people been planting in church for years, but if they get in trouble and they go to that church for help, they're talking about the welfare office. Y'all know I'm talking to somebody. And listen, that's not God's will. So I'm against that. I just tell you flat-footed, praise God. We've got to do better with this teaching on money and tithing and offering. You know, it's not auction. Come on. These are not auctions. Jesus saw people selling in the temple, and he whooped them out of the temple. And that's a drastic display of God's displeasure. Now, he's Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's follow his plan. I believe that we can have a multi-billion-dollar ministry if we do it God's way. Now, see, I'm just that crazy. If we do it God's way, feed the poor God's way. Don't feed the poor. I know a preacher feed the poor, and he want to get in the newspaper. Glory to God. Want people to see what they're doing. Doing it with the wrong purpose. You can love folk with the wrong motive. Come on. You can help people with the wrong motive. It's not about us. It's about exalting Christ. We can do it with style and yet not do it for show. Thank God. Hebrews 13 and 8. And I said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Mark 5. Says, but overhearing what they said, verse 36, Jesus said to the rulers of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Sometimes we're trying to fear, and God says, listen, sometimes I just require your belief. Come on. I just want you to believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. What are you believing God for? How do you know if you're really believing God? How do I know? I think I'm believing him. I started off this broadcast with the word of God in 1 Corinthians 2. Started at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Watch this. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now hear me. You don't even know. We don't even know our miracles. In the natural, we can't even perceive. You say, I'm believing God for a home. I'm believing God for a job. It ain't in the natural. You may do some natural things, but it will come supernaturally. You can go for an interview on a job, and that person that's interviewing you might have had somebody else in mind, but when you showed up, come on here, because of your belief, God gave you favor. You see, where there is no money, you need favor. And even with money, you need favor. I choose favor of God over money any day. See, God can favor you and let you walk in doors that a rich man couldn't get in. We got a whole lot of rich folk with bad spirits. And we got a whole lot of poor folk with bad spirits. Come on, I love you so much. So God, in this hour, God spoke to me. He said, I'm doing a new thing. I'm raising up a people that will obey. I'm raising up a people that I can just make outrageously rich, but they will love me continuously. They will love on the people. See, the problem has never been money. It's who has it. Because with money, if you love it, it's the root of all evil. The love of money, not money, the love of it. Matthew 6:25, listen. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Mm-hmm. Don't be anxious. It tells us not to worry. Worry and anxiousness are twins. They go together. They are Siamese twins. Anxious, worry. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about your life. Because when you worry about your life, you're saying, God, I'm in control. I'm going to say it again. Somebody just got quickened. When we worry about our lives, we're saying we are in control. So Jesus said, don't take any thought. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, don't think about what you need to do and don't budget and, you can't get crazy on this. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat. You know, you can have a refrigerator cabinet full of food, the freezer full. Everything is full. You can have all the delicious foods. Y'all might not have experienced this, but you can be anxious about what you're going to eat. Now, I love you, Lord. Now, if you used to going to McDonald's, most likely the menu doesn't change much. It alters every now and then, but basically, you know, when you go to McDonald's, what they have. You know, I'm going to use something natural, then explain something spiritual. You know, sometimes you can go to McDonald's and you just sit there like, oh, I don't know what to get. The same menu. Come on, think about it. I can hear somebody laughing in the spirit. Same menu. You know what's at McDonald's, and yet you'll find yourself worrying about what you're going to get at McDonald's. The devil will have you worrying about a God that is your supply, about a God that is your shepherd. And he said, you shall not want. You worry about stuff when God gave you breath. God gave us a heart that beats, but it's not plugged in. God gave us legs to walk, a mouth to talk, the basic stuff. Some people take for granted. Then some people are struggling. Worry weakens your natural heart. You better hear this. Fear can cause a heart attack. So God says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. For example, when you are anxious about something, you actually cause the miracle to stand still. Instead of receiving what God has for you, because of worry and anxiousness, it stands still. You don't believe me? Act real anxious about such as you may need $100. Act over anxious about it. Then you're going to cause a spirit of concern from the person that you're asking the $100 for. Man, hurry up. I got to get $100. Come on, I need $100, please. Come on, I need this. What do you need it for? I can't talk about that. I really need it now. Come on. That person is going to become concerned. Are you hearing me? When we ask God for something, we must know that he's already provided it. Come boldly before God. We don't come scared of God in the natural sense. We respect his glory. We respect who he is. We respect that he can do all things and nothing is too hard for him. All he tells us is just believe. If you believe me, if you simply believe my word, I'll do it for you. If you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to get out of your way. And God said, because of your faith, it's not how big it is, it's what it is. Jesus said in Matthew 6, I'm telling you something. Jesus said, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Because God already knows that. There are no surprises to God when we pray. Hear me. Before you go to God, he knows about it. Prayer is an exercise of the will of man. Prayer is that exercise for our spiritual muscles of faith. That communicative channel by which we talk to God. And as we talk to God, we get used to God. It's amazing to me how in the Garden of Eden, how when Satan beguiled the woman and the woman gave it to the man and they were naked, it's amazing to me about an all-knowing God came and walked and asked them, where are you? Now, you know God is omnipresent. You know he knew where they were, but he asked them, understand our relationship with God. God simply asked them so that they could see where they were. God is never surprised at our mistakes. God is never surprised at our shortcomings. God is never surprised at our needs. What we ask for is a process of fellowship. Many people are going to come to Jesus and say, I've cast out devils, I heal the sick, I raise the dead. And the Lord is going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You know what iniquity is? It's unfair treatment. Yeah, you heal the sick, but you were unfair. You cast out devils, but you were unfair. To the same people, you cast the devil out of them. Glory to God. Teaching you something by the will of God and by the Holy Spirit. It's not me that's teaching you. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, listen, I know sometimes you want a prophecy. I know sometimes you want this and that. But God is telling you now, if you hear my word, if you hear what's being taught by the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself in that place where you become the head and not the tail. The word of God says in Psalm 9, it says, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Come on. When you seek God, I'm telling you something. When we seek God, God would never deny those who seek him. God would never deny those who love him. Jeremiah 29 and 11, one of my favorite. I love this. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I want you to look at that now. This is powerful. Here it is. Verse 11, it says here, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now listen to this. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God's telling you when you pray, I'm listening. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 29, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Verse 14, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from the all nations, and from all the places that I have given you, no matter where you are. Drugs might have driven you. Bad relationships might have driven you out. And God said, wherever you have been driven to, I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Whatever carried you away, regardless of what it is, God said, I'm going to bring you back. It's through prayer. It's when you understand, like verse 11, Jeremiah 29, I want you to get this. God says, I know what I think about you. Why are you wondering and worried about what so-and-so said about you? Listen to me now. Why are you thinking about who's against you? Who gives a foot? Praise God. Why are you so concerned about? Look at this reality TV. People just, they said this about me. Haters and get over it. People who are not in fellowship with God, I don't care if they go to church. I don't care who it is. If you're not in fellowship with God, you're in fellowship with Satan. If you don't, listen. So why are people so surprised? Unconsecrated person gossips, slander, talk about other people's faults and failures and sins. You see, my mistake to you is just a mistake to God. Come on. And while I'm taking it over, and you're talking about my mistake, you missed it and didn't take the opportunity to pray for me. Oh, some of you are sitting and you're wondering why you're so worried. Because you think folk that are better than you, you deem them better than you. And then you put your own spirit down. Stop that. We are all one. You know, the word of God says here, I read this, but I read it again and I love it. Faith, it is impossible to please him. When we come to God, we must believe that he is, or that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Listen, the difference between us and demons and devils, they believe he exists, but they will not seek him. That's why when there was war in heaven, there was an award through Christ. The angels stopped worshiping God, were cast down. And the reward to mankind is those that seek God are rewarded. I'm not talking about those who seek and do like Apostle Paul before he was converted. He was killing Christians and thought he was doing God a service. It's love, people. Some people have not been converted yet, and they will do evil and thinking they are pleasing God. Wake up, church. My God, there's a reward in seeking God. I'll be right back. We're going to continue. Hallelujah. Matthew 4 talks about Jesus, and this is important that you hear this, people of God. I love you, and that's why I'm talking to you. Now hear this and exalt Christ. Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil or by the devil. Now listen to me. You say, I'm going through hell. I'm going through so much trouble. You know what? I had a man said to me that he was taught that the reason the devil is chasing him because he's out of the will of God. I said, I have nothing to say about the people that told you that, but I would say to you, you heard a lie. You heard a lie. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, I want you to listen to this. Some of our temptations are a result of being led. See, that word wilderness, look at it again. Wilderness. That's what I call it. Some of you are yet in your wild ways. But God's going to use your wild ways, young man. I don't care if you're in gangs. I don't care if you're on drugs. I don't care if you're living a lifestyle that is an abomination to God. I love you, and God is going to use those wild ways of yours, and you're going to be a mighty, mighty instrument in the hand of God. Young lady, you may be in your wilderness, in your wilderness experience, but God's going to take your experience. No man, no woman comes to God lest he draw them. I don't condemn everybody that's in their wilderness, because all of us have a wilderness experience. But I tell you what you do. When you're in your wilderness experience, that's the time to fast. You said, well, I'm smoking this and I'm drinking this, fast. You said, well, I'm whoring around and I'm doing this and that and I'm partying, fast. It's in the wilderness that we develop a hunger for God. It's too much condemnation among God's people. You have a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of young people, you have a lot of people dealing with homosexuality. Don't condemn them. They're in their wilderness. Glory to God. I love every one of them. I don't condone, but yet I don't condemn. All of us were saved from something. Some of us were quiet about our wilderness. And then we get a little touch. And we get a little message. And then we go to condemning and doing like some parents. I was never that bad. Yes, you were. Giving you for 9 months, they took something from you. Fathers, they took something from you. It's the wilderness experience that many times brings us to God. And the devil said, the tempter said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. Then the devil took him to a holy city, set him on a pinnacle. The devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world. You see, the enemy wants worship. But God is teaching his people how to worship God. Jesus never gave in to any temptation. So he returned from that wilderness in the power of the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with your wilderness, your wilderness, but you got to come back in the power. There's a lot of prodigal sons and daughters coming back. You better hear my prophecy. 2015, there's going to be more young people won to the kingdom of God. And God is ushering in this hour ministries that are anointed by him that will not make merchandise of God's people. And there's a harvest that the church world has never witnessed. Psalm 91 says, verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When you begin to trust God and you trust him as your fortress, he's our refuge. Not your house, not your job. God is our refuge and our fortress, and we trust in God. God will always deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from pestilence, from disease. He will cover us. And under his wings, we will find refuge under the divine protection of God. I don't care what you're going through. You're under the protection of God. You don't have to fear terror. The night flies by day. God is your protector. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Psalm 55 and 22. Cast your burdens on the Lord. And he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all our cares upon him, he cares for us. God cares. Does he care about my life? Family issues, rape issues, incest, regardless of what it is, God cares. He takes ugly situations and he uses those ugly situations to bring glory and also to bring people to him. 1 Peter 5 says, verse 6, humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Keep trusting God. And how do you trust him? You keep your care. You let him become. James 1, 2, and 4. Count it all joy when you meet trials, divers, different kinds of tests. For you know that the testing and the trial of our faith, it produces steadfastness. What's an athlete without stamina? Steadfastness. What's a boxer in a boxing match without steadfastness? Come on here. Just as sports, you have to develop stamina and muscles and eating right to prepare for a particular match, a game, where there's an opposing force, opposing team. So it is in the kingdom of God. Spiritually in shape to win. Keep your hearts on God. I mean, keep your mind. Listen, find you somebody that have the time. The person called me and it was from a foreign country. It was unbelievable. And the ministry where they go to, they have to make an appointment to get prayer. And so it took them 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get prayer. I thought to myself, oh, thank you for bringing this person to me, because I took the time to minister to this person. To God be all glory now. But I thank God for putting this spirit in me. Don't you thank God for putting what he put in you? You are awesome. You are great. Listen, you are more than you know. Triumphant. God has put glory on you. As a matter of fact, he's crowned you with glory and honor. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He put glory on you. Yes, he did. And see, this is what the enemy hates. Because when the enemy looks at you, watch this now. I'm turning the pages in my Bible. I want to show you something. The enemy hates the fact that you got more glory than him. Uh-oh. Yeah, he knows that God has put glory on you. Hebrews 2, I want to read this to you. Hebrews 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see, the enemy is always waiting on the believer to slip up. Give heed to what you're hearing. Verse 2, Hebrews 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. You see, everything gets rewarded. Even our disobedience gets rewarded. How much more should we obey? God is a God that rewards. Look at verse 3, Hebrews 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto us hath he not put in subjection the world to come? Whereof we speak. You see, God gave man dominion. But some men want dominion over man. And that's hell. Listen. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now get ready. I told you he put glory on you. Verse 7, Hebrews 2 and 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thine hands. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Now see, God said, he's crowned us with glory. Hebrews 2 and 7 and 8. But yet everything has not been in subjection under that glory. Now look at verse 9. I love this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. See, Jesus became legally in the earth because God had to become flesh. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He became a man for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, he tastes death for you. Verse 10, Hebrews 2. For it became him for whom are all things, and by him whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Glory is on you. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It was his suffering that gave us perfection. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You mean Jesus called me his brother? Glory is on you. When the enemy comes against you, you said, listen, you're coming against glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Trust in God. Trust in God with everything you have. You said, listen, man, you don't know. I'm about to be evicted. I've been there. I know what it is to me and my family to be in a hotel almost 3 years. Yeah, nobody knew it. Why? When you trust God, you trust God. God made everything. So you trusting the one that owns the wood and the metal and electricity that makes the house. Stop, look, listen, a person can call himself a landlord, but God is he's the Lord of all the earth. So why not trust God? I never will forget me and my queen, Katrina. We were looking for a house. And the word, the prophetic word came on my life. And I told her I saw an African woman coming to her job. And I said, this woman has a house for us. And she's going to give us the keys. Now that word just came. To God be all glory, none to me. This event happened. And in this home was hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm talking about the furniture alone. And God blessed us for that year or so to live in that home for this woman. Let me tell you something. I know that you have been hurting. And I know you have been praying, but I prophetically say to you, something good is happening right now for you. You mark this date, March the 3rd. Mark it down. There is an unseen miracle for you. Some of you have been waiting 6 months. Some been waiting 2 years and 5 days. Some of you have been waiting for such a time, for so much time has passed, but yet you have not doubted God. God is saying, I see you. I don't know why God waits until the things are so extreme to move. Moses with the people of Israel had gone out. Pharaoh's army had came to take them back into bondage. God waits until they get before a sea that they could not swim across. He sends a wind. I prophesy a wind to come to your home and to your loved ones and to that boy that you've been praying for. I send the wind, and I command this wind to blow in his direction and bring deliverance. That wind blows away cancer. That wind blows away debt. That wind blows away fear. It blows away drugs. It blows away anger and bitterness. I feel a shout in the Spirit of God. Wind, blow, bring deliverance. Wind, blow and bring healing to that marriage. Bring healing to that ministry. Those that have lost everything. Someone been sleeping in your car. I dare you to shake your keys. Shake them now. I see you in the spirit. God is doing something. I hear the word mulberry. There's a mulberry street. Your miracle is on mulberry. My God. My God. Someone you had surgery and they closed it up and they said they can't do anything about it. I'm looking at you. I can see the image of your body, and I don't know what city you're in right now, but all I can tell you, you're listening to me. And it's been pronounced upon your life. You've been given so many days, but God has said, everyone is alive but me. You will live and not die, and you will declare the works of God. And you're going to run for God like you have never ran for him. You know you've been disobedient, but God will raise you up. He has raised you up and given you victory in your body. Now go forth and preach, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, love on God's people. Hallelujah. You've taken a sick leave from your job, and God going to send you back to your job about 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then he's going to usher you into full-time ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's someone in Memphis that's listening to me. God is illuminating my eyes now. You're in Memphis, and you thought about leaving, but God is saying he's going to keep you there for another year. And God has said he's going to open up ways. You're going to be preaching more revivals than you've ever preached. And God said he's going to renew, and there's going to be a new fellowship that arises. Praise the Lord. And God said he's going to strengthen you, and you will find yourself in the midst of people without double motive. Praise God. And God said even your wife shall be healed and renewed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got about 40 more. I'm going to extend tonight. I feel led to 347-539-517. I'm going to extend just for a little bit, and I'm going to be praying. I got about 15 minutes but I'm going to be praying for the sick. I'm going to be praying for this impartation of trust. The enemy has destroyed your trust, but God shall restore it tonight. I'll be right back after this. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. And God has not forgotten you. I'm telling you something. I can feel the presence of God. You know, God alone is worthy of all our trust. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. You see, God doesn't have to repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? You say, God promised me this. God promised me that. But I get a question. Hath he said it, and he shall not do it? Hath he spoken, and he shall not make it good? God's not in debt to anyone. God is so full of love. God is love. He has no debt. If you question the Lord's worthiness of your confidence and trust, then you are simply not putting your trust under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 36 and 7, the excellency of knowing and trusting Christ is worth the loss of all things. To the true believers. In other words, you don't worry about nothing because you know in whom you're trusting. The scripture says, yea, doubtless, And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Sometimes you need to take time to win Christ. You say, well, Christ's not lost. It's not that type of winning. You must become one with Christ. When we are true believers, we don't ask why we should trust God. We say, how can I trust God more fully? Think about it. Apostle Paul understood that his faith was strengthened when he approached his divine allowed necessities as being for Christ's sake. In other words, when we approach God, we count it worthy. We take pleasure in the things of reproach and things that look the opposite of what we're believing God for. Persecutions and even things that contradict our faith in God. We must know our necessities and were actually opportunities to God. You say, well, listen, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Stop looking at it as a bill or lack. Look at everything that opposes what you really believe about God in your heart as an opportunity. It's not a debt. It's not a sickness. It's not a lack. It's an opportunity to trust God. And when we take that opportunity, God smiles at us and says, there's a chance for me to perform my wonders because my son or my daughter is believing me. It makes God stand up on his throne and say, look, there's somebody that depends on me and somebody that knows my worth. And when we understand God is worth more than my need, God is worth more than my lack, God is worth, and I count what I'm going through as less of an importance, but the opportunity has become God. I'm in this because God needed an opportunity to bless me. It was necessary for me to go through homelessness. It was necessary for me to go through lack because it gave God an opportunity. I'd rather be faithful and praise God with a pure heart than to mumble and complain about what I didn't have and how much time it took. Some of us got a clock on God. We got a watch. We're watching and praying, all right. We're watching our clock. Stop that, dear children of God. Don't put God on a timer. He is time. The Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Rather than looking for explanations from philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, we believe what the scripture says. And if we ponder, ladies and gentlemen, the nature of the scriptures, we can see that the Lord Jesus Christ, who identifies himself as the truth, St. John 14, is one with his word. God is one with his word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I want you to know God exalt his word above his own name. Do you believe that God has not going to do, but that God has done it for you? You know, I was thinking of Rahab. You know, Rahab, she was not a Jew by birth, but she became an ancestor of King David and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have faith in God, when we trust in God, even though we've sinned and come short of God's glory, when we trust God, we become an heir. I thank God for tonight. I can feel the presence of God in an unusual way. Father, tonight I give you praise for your people. I thank you, Lord, that all of their desires are fulfilled. 2015 is a supernatural year. God, you're going to even go beyond our own expectation. And you're going to go there to the point where there are things that we're going to receive of the Spirit of God that were unexpected. Now, God, move by your Spirit. Now, God, move by your Spirit. Before I close, I'll be right back after this.
Oh!
17 and 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Now, there's a difference. Many of us trust in the Lord. We have to go beyond that. Get it now? Our trust must become the Lord. In other words, our trust in the Lord is so consumed by the Lord himself until the Lord himself is our trust. We don't just trust in him. He is our trust. We put so much trust in him until our trust becomes the Lord. God, I hear a shout in the spirit. Psalm 46, I love this. Be still and know that I'm God. I am God. God will be exalted among the nations. He said, I will be exalted in the earth. You are his earth that he wants to be exalted in. Yes. I trust in the Lord. Psalm 105 and 4, seek the Lord and his strength. We don't seek God for nothing. We're seeking God for something. Psalm 105 and 4, we get strength from seeking God. Seek his presence continually. And that's why we can rejoice, because we know he hears us. Do you believe that what you've asked God for, that you have it? Then you got to rejoice. You got to go from asking to rejoicing. Because if you stay in asking, then you're acting like God didn't hear you. He knows what we need before we what? Ask, it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. What's the first letter in ask? A. First letter in seek? S. First letter in knock? K. Any way you cut it, it's asking. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to ask. Ask. Well, I love you. Thank God for you. You be blessed. And we'll not be on the air Saturday, March the 7th, my Queen Katrina's birthday. We will renew our vows. Oh, I'm excited about this. And I love that woman. And I'm just so excited about it. I feel like we're in high school. Your ministry would never be greater than your marriage. Get it? Trust God. Don't you ever stop trusting him. You request personal counseling, 317-832-0131. Also, if God has touched you in any kind of way, then you obey him. With your investments to this ministry, go to www.facebook.com/prophecyalivebroadcast. God is so good. He's worthy of all praises. I want y'all to stay encouraged. Until next time, expect more miracles than you've ever seen in your life. Love you and God bless.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. but I found the Savior who turned me over.